This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلوات ربه وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن دعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. This is our second chapter or second part of our lecture on is Corona an opportunity or is it a catastrophe? But more so, I want to change the heading of these two parts by calling it Understanding the Quran. Understanding the Quran. So last week we ended with the encounter that Umar ibn al-Khattab had with the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Haram. Nabi didn't see him, but he was listening to the Quran in Surah Al-Haqqah, and it impressed him so much. And Umar says that when he listened to the Prophet reading the Quran in the Salah, and he hid himself behind the Kaaba to listen, that was the point at which he realized that this is the truth from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I think basically because of two things. One, he understood what the Prophet was reading. And number two, he obviously felt that the verses read by the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was read particularly for him. That he thought, he said the Prophet, he thought in his mind the Prophet was a magician, and Allah says, ma huwa bikahin, he's not, and so forth and so on. So it shows the impact that the Quran has on the heart and the mind when it is understood by the reader or by the listener. And that is only one example of how the Quran touched the heart of the Sahaba alayhim as-salatu wassalam. Now, coming back to our understanding of the Quran and memorization of the Quran, and I want you to understand that memorization of the Quran has been a methodology of keeping the Quran since the time of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The time of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba, there was no choice. People couldn't read nor write, they had to memorize. It was compulsory for them to memorize the Quran. They couldn't write it down. And there was a reason for that, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted the Quran to be transferred by the spoken word, not the written word. Because the spoken word cannot be corrupted, but the written word can. That's one of the reasons. So our children today, mashallah, we can all read the Quran. Everybody who's learned the alphabet, and we can all read the Quran, alhamdulillah. But when we ask our children to become hafiz, what do we say? We say, mashallah, my child, you must read like Abdul Basit, or you must read like Shuraij, or you must read like this one, or you must read like that one, mashallah. And we encourage our children to pick up one of these styles of one of the great hafaz of the day, instead of making dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should grant him both. Should grant him the memorization, and more so, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should grant him the understanding of the Quran. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua for Abdullah ibn Abbas, got hold of him one day and pressed him to his chest and said to him, O Allah, yufaqihu fiddin. Allahumma faqihu fiddin. O Allah, give him understanding of the deen. And the deen that time was the Quran. So Prophet asked for understanding. So we should follow in that sunnah. We should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He must grant us and our children understanding of the Quran. Don't settle for second best. The best is to understand the Quran. Secondly, to memorize the Quran. We are very proud as Muslims. You know, we say that we have a 24/7 guidance from the Quran. We live as Muslims 24/7. We say that other people go to church maybe on a Sunday or on a Saturday, but we pray 5 times every single day. And we live the Quran. We dress the way the Quran, in fact, we made a song out of it. Al-Quran dusturuna, that the Quran is our constitution, that we live by the Quran. But my question to you is, how do we live by the Quran when we don't understand the Quran? How is that possible? How is it possible for a person to do that? And I want to quote for you from Surah Al-Furqan, which is the 25th surah. In verse 36, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, will say on the day of Qiyamah, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّي. And the messenger of Allah will say, oh my Lord, إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. Oh my Lord, my qawm, my people have taken this Qur'an. They've abandoned the Qur'an. They've treated the Qur'an as some foolish book. How is it possible at the end of everything, when the Nabi is standing in front of Allah, what will he say? My people. Who is his people? His ummah. He's referring to us. He says that we've abandoned the Qur'an. We have forsaken the Qur'an. We have deserted the Qur'an. But how is it possible? None of us want to know that we have abandoned the Quran or forsaken the Quran. We read the Quran. We memorize the Quran. In Ramadan, we read Khatam of the Quran. We have competitions of the Quran where we vie and compete with each other in who has the most beautiful voice to read the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us to read the Quran in the most beautiful voice. We can ask a hafiz, you know, read Surah so and say, we'll read Surah so and so. Read from that verse to that verse in Surah so-and-so. He will tell you, if you read, he'll say that is in Surah so-and-so, that is verse so-and-so. We have all that knowledge. But if you ask the Hafiz person who doesn't understand the Quran, what are you reading? You won't be able to answer you. So we have become alienated from the understanding of the Quran. Because there's nothing else. A book is to be understood. Let me give you an example about alienation from the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's the Quran being read in a human voice. And there is the Quran which consists of the word and kalam and message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to humanity. These are two entirely different things. Today, if you have a CD in your car and you're playing the CD in your car and your friend gets into the car, what will he say when he listens? He says, oh, and who is that? And he says, Mishhari or Abdul Basit. And he will say, mashallah, it's beautiful. You must give me a copy of that. So the Quran has now become Mishhari. It's become Abdul Basit. I've never heard someone say, mashallah, I'm listening to the words, the kalam of Allah. How beautiful Allah speaks to us. Look what Allah is saying to us. Never. The Quran has become like our local qaris will mention his name. Oh, he reads like so-and-so and he reads like so-and-so. Brothers and sisters, we are not in a good space. This is not a good space for Muslims to be in. And we'll come to learn why. Because this for us is the most important book in our lives. It is the most important book in our lives. And yet we are happy to read it hatam after hatam after hatam without understanding the Quran. At least we read the English, of course, and we understand it to a certain extent. And you know, it's amazing, but you've all seen the clips of the Quran being read in a church or in a congregation of non-Muslims, you've seen this. And you've also been impressed by the fact that sometimes the Christians and non-Muslims, they cry when they listen to the reading of the Quran. They cry, they sit spellbound, not moving, listening to the Quran. Yet they don't understand the Quran. They cry and they're spellbound, but yet they don't understand anything that is being read of the Quran. And us, we, when we sit at a wedding and we don't have a scarf on and the Quran is going to be read, and what do? We put a scarf on. And we put our scarves on and we sit up straight and we listen to the Quran. Some of us, we are also spellbound by the voice of the Qari. We're spellbound. We cry by listening just to the voice of the Qari. So what is the difference between us and them? What is the difference between a non-Muslim listening to the Quran and not understanding it and crying and being spellbound, and a Muslim listening to the Quran and crying and being spellbound and not understanding anything? There's no difference. Can you imagine? They don't understand, they cry. We don't understand, and we cry. I want to bring to your attention now, what does Allah say about understanding and memorization? Does Allah say anything about the difference between memorizing the Quran and understanding the Quran? First, I want to quote for you a verse from Surah Al-Hijr, which is the 15th surah of the Quran, the 9th verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidun." This is a very famous verse. What does Allah say? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna, verily we," the noon here with the shutdown, it is that nice. "We, inna," is verily, inna, verily we, Allah says, "nahnu." Another word for we is nahnu. "Nazzalna," we send down. So three we's in a row. "We," verily we, and "nahnu" is we, and "nazzalna" is we sent down. Verily, we sent down. Three times Allah emphasizes that. Where does the Quran come from? From Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? No. From where? From anybody else? No. Allah says we. This Quran comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who created you and created me. Who do we say we love? Is there anybody who doesn't say they love Allah? How can you love somebody who don't understand what he's saying? And we can't see him. What kind of a love is that? And then Allah says, "Wa inna lahu lahafidun," and we will. Allah says, "Wa inna," again, "and verily we," lahu, this book, la is an intensifying article. It intensifies the expression of this is it. This is what I will do. Allah says, "Wa inna," and we will protect this Quran. We will protect it from, and will preserve it from corruption. So Allah says, "I send down this book and I will protect it from corruption." People think, oh, if we don't memorize the Quran will get lost. People will change the Quran. For 1500 years, nobody's been able to add a dot to the Quran. And was that because of me, my father and your father? No. Was that because of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? No. He left the dunya. He passed on. And he left it behind. Could have been corrupted. But why isn't it corrupted? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a guarantee. He will look after this book. Then Surah Sa'd, the 38th surah of the Quran, verse 29, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "كتاب أنزلناه إليك مباركا ليتدبروا آياته." So what does Allah say in the first verse? Allah will protect the Quran. What does Allah say in the second verse? "كتاب," a book, "أنزلناه," which we send down, "إليك," أو Muhammad, to you. So this was sent to Muhammad, from Allah to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Mubarakun. Allah adds the verse. Allah adds the word. And this Quran is a blessing. Now we know three things about the Quran. It is a shifa and a rahmah. It is a medicine and it is a mercy. Now we hear it is mubarak. It is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because, you know, today we want to find blessings in everything. We say, oh, touch this, it's a blessing, you know. Look at this, it's a blessing, you know. Rub here, it's a blessing. No. Rub on the Quran, that's a blessing. Read the Quran, that's a blessing. If you want blessings, blessings which is confirmed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, we had a big discussion in the community some time ago about tabarruk. You must do this for tabarruk, rub here for tabarruk, touch this for tabarruk. And this belonged to the Prophet, and you must touch it for tabarruk. All these things. Allah says, I've sent the Quran as a means of tabarruk, of getting blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah says, why did I send this to you? Why did I send this blessing to you? Li yadabbaru, in order for you to reflect upon the contents of the Quran with understanding. Tadabbur. So what is the purpose of the Quran? What is the purpose of the Quran? What is Allah's work and what is our work? Allah says his job is to protect the Quran. And our job? He's given us our job. He says, I've given it to you so that you may practice tadabbur. Reflect upon the Quran. But as a scholar said, he said, Talabda minna tadabbur, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has requested from us to apply our mind to the Quran and to understand the Quran. Wata'adda bilhifd, and we have made obligatory on us the memorization of the Quran. Allah says one thing and we do something else. Allah says, I have asked you, liyatadabbaru. I've sent it as a blessing for you to reflect upon. But what do? We say, and Allah says, you will protect it. We say, no. We will protect the Quran by memorization. Allah says, that's not your job. Your job is to understand the Quran. That's your first priority. And you cannot protect the Quran because I have taken that upon myself. That's my job. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the last verse in connection with this. So this is what man does. Because he doesn't understand the Quran, he does all kinds of things. He puts hifz in front of understanding because he doesn't know the verses. He doesn't know what Allah requires from him. Allah says in Surah Muhammad, which is the 47th Surah, verse 24, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Surah Muhammad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah says, why do you not understand the Quran? Why do you not contemplate on the Quran? Why do you not reflect on the Quran? Why? What's wrong? I asked you, liyatadabbaru, but you don't do it. Am ala qulubin akhfaluha? Do you have locks on your hearts, says Allah? Are your hearts locked? Have you locked your hearts? Because if you don't understand the Quran, your heart is locked. What does it mean? What does it mean when something is locked? When the door is locked? Nobody can get through. Allah can get through your heart, to your heart. Because Allah can only penetrate your heart if you contemplate His Quran, His word. If you understand what He says. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding of the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us to follow the Quran. Again, I come to the point of, because we don't understand the Quran, we make the wrong decisions. Or not the correct, absolute correct decisions as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. And what do? We fabricate what we want to do. We say, but what's wrong with this? And what is wrong with that? And why can't we do this? And why can't we do that? Why can't I read Khatam in the month of Ramadan? But Khatam, reading of Khatam in the month of Ramadan is not far nor sunnah. Prophet didn't read Khatam. What did he do in the month of Ramadan? Jibreel came to him to teach him the Quran in the month of Ramadan. So if we want to follow the sunnah of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the sunnah of Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala, we should get somebody to teach us the understanding of the Quran, the meaning of the Quran. That is the sunnah of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Prophet didn't sit and read the Quran like a speed train. And we say, oh, Laylatul Qadr night will be finished. From where does this come? From where? Yes, reading the Quran, you'll get reward. But that wasn't the sunnah of the Nabi. Allah sent Jibreel not to teach him how to read the Quran, just to read the Quran. No, to understand the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ Allah says to the Nabi Sallam, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to your people, say to the Muslims, أَتُعَلِّمُونَ اللَّهَ. Do you want to teach Allah his deen? Very clear words. No double meanings. No interpretation. No tafsir. Allah says, أَتُعَلِّمُونَ اللَّهَ بِدِينِكُمْ. Do you want to teach, O Muslims, your Lord Allah, the Quran? We do that all the time. How many things are there not that we do and we say, oh man, I do, it's a good thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says further in this verse, وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Allah says, you want to teach Allah his deen, and Allah knows all, everything that happens in the whole universe. مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. How can you teach Allah anything? Yet we do it. Is it a sunnah? We say no. Does Allah say in the Quran? I don't know. But as far as my understanding goes, that's what we should do. For example, I'm giving an example of our custom here. Now, there are many ways of making dhikrullah. We call it khadat, we call it arwah, we call it merang. We have many names for it. Ultimately, we say it is dhikrullah. And it's good. It's dhikrullah. But what does Allah want from us? Not what is mainstream Islam. What does Allah want from us when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to remember him? How does Allah want us to remember him? It's like your child. Your child brings you money, brings you food. He brings you everything. But you see him maybe once a week. In the lockdown, maybe you won't see him. He thinks this is what you want, to go shopping for him, bring him chocolate, bring you this, bring you that, buy pajamas, buy you this. But in your heart, as a father or a mother, that's not what you want. You just want to see him, that's all. The best present you could give your parents is just looking into their face and say, Salaamu Alaikum, Daddy. Salaamu Alaikum, Mommy. Umi, Buya. Same with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's an Allah way and there's our way. There's Allah way and there's our way. In everything. Because we don't understand the Quran. There is a verse, Wala dhikru Allahi akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and the remembrance of Allah is the greatest. No more. Nothing better than that. Nothing. Wala dhikru Allahi akbar. Even if you don't understand Arabic, you understand dhikr and you understand akbar. And Allah says, Wala. Again, the emphatic particle, wala, dhikrullah. And verily, certainly, without any doubt, Allah says, my remembrance, the remembrance of Allah is, number one, the greatest. So how does Allah want us to remember him? That's the next question. Where must we go for the answer? We go to Allah. We go to the Quran. What does the Quran say? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Toha, which is the 20th surah, in the 14th verse, and please read the verse before this as well. Remember, whenever I quote a verse, I give you the citation or the reference so that you can go and look up these verses afterwards and check whether I've interpreted them correctly from your reading of the translation of the verse. Allah says, Toha, verse 14, Fa'budni, worship me. Ibadah is for Allah. Then what does Allah say? Wa aqimi salata li dhikri. and establish regular prayer for my remembrance. What does Allah want from us? 3 hours of dhikrullah? Once a week? Once a year? No, Allah doesn't say that. No, in the Quran does Allah say that. And we want to teach Allah His deen? La hawla wa la quwwata illa. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Wa aqimi salata li dhikri. If you want to remember me, oh my creation, then perform your salah on time. Perform your salah on time. And perform it the way it should be performed so you can remember me, inshallah. But inshallah, that is on Friday, I spoke about it, and I will, in my Jum'ah lecture that I gave online, you can go in, inshallah, you can go and look at it, listen to it whenever you wish. So there are many things, but there is the best. There is hafiz of the Quran. There is reading the Quran in maaf. Yes, there are many things, but the best is that which comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed the Prophet alayhi wa sallam to say this. قُلْ أَتُعَلِّبُونَ اللَّهَ بِدِينِكُمْ. Tell him, Muhammad, that can't teach Allah his deen. He's saying this to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he's saying this to us. Which means the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and us are on the same level when it comes to the Quran. Meaning, all our knowledge comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is hashtag YOLO. I'm sure the millennials have heard of this hashtag. It's a hashtag that was used by a rapper, a Canadian rapper. His name was Drake. And what does YOLO mean? YOLO means, and I'm sure it's used in many, the South Koreans love to use this hashtag YOLO. You only live once. That's the hashtag. You only live once. And the millennials, who are the people born between 1980 and the year 2000. So if you were born in the year 2000, if you're now 20 years old, you're part of the millennial group of people. And they created this group of people. Why? Because this is where the money is in the world. People are in their 30s, in their middle 20s, they're starting out, they're working, there's a lot of money, a lot of spare money. And one of the things of YOLO is to travel, to become a backpack traveler. That's one of it. But YOLO has another meaning. It means that you should enjoy yourself to the full as a millennium. You should do everything. And in the West, of course, they do everything. They party, they drink, they take drugs, and they do everything. This is YOLO. And there was Irvin McInnes. I just read this. I don't know these people. Was also a rapper, and he had also a YOLO hashtag. And he was so into narcissism, just pleasing himself, that one day he sent out a message on Twitter with this hashtag YOLO, and within the hour, he was dead in a car crash. He was driving, he was drinking, and he was driving so mad, he killed himself. Now, is that what Islam wants from us? So what does Islam want from us? Does Islam want from us to live? Yes, to live a full life, of course, but righteously. The Quran wants us to live, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to live, the Islam wants us to live, the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam wants us to live a life that is righteous. You can travel, you can eat, you can study, you can do everything, but do it in a righteous manner. And the same with everything else. And I want to give a message to young people today. We're in lockdown. We have been given a chance by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to consider our existing state and our future. And particularly to young people, and particularly those to young men and women who are already in their 20s, late 20s, and they're not married yet. And they say to themselves, my career, my career, my career. Or I'm not ready for marriage yet. Let this coronavirus be a wake-up call for you to understand that these things don't wait for you. And not being married leads to a lot of things which is not agreeable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Courting is not good, because courting today can lead to everything and can be hidden. Today we have so many things that we can hide behind. So people live a very frivolous life, open life, promiscuous life, including Muslims. So I'm asking you from the bottom of my heart, if you have somebody that you want to marry, why must you wait another year? For what? It's the easiest thing is to get married. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it so easy. Two witnesses and a man, don't need a house. But to be married, that's part of the sunnah of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why sometimes we get distracted and we get deviated from Islam, because we're not on the right path. We go to the masjid, from the masjid we go to our girlfriend's house and we take her out for the evening. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Please, I believe even now with these latest cool drinks with alcohol in it, people drink it. Young men at universities, they drink it, young women. How long we must decide? No. This is not part of living righteously. We can drink whatever we want, which is halal by Allah, so we eat what we want. And it's particularly for the ladies, drink, dress the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. Life is short. Life is very short. So, and particularly the dress, the heroes of our society, for me, are the women. The hero of our societies are the women who dress modestly. Modestly. They're the heroes. Why are they the heroes? Because a Muslim woman who dresses modestly goes out into the road to a job, and by not even speaking to everybody can see she's a Muslim. SubhanAllah. Not easy. Imagine you have to go for a job interview in today's world with hijab, and fully clothed, covered. Not easy. If a man had to do that, it wouldn't be easy, it'd be difficult. Yet they have the courage to walk in KC, in the shopping malls. SubhanAllah, I really admire them, especially the young ones. So, please take heed of my advice. Don't wait till it's too late. Ramadan is coming. Please promise yourself that this Ramadan is going to be different from other Ramadans. That you're going to read the Quran with understanding. You can read the English translation. Please read it. Please think about it. Not about reading a khatam. You'll get more reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you get 10 reward for reading a harf, you'll get 100 reward for understanding that harf. Why? Because you are following the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لِيَتَدَبَّرُوا, to contemplate and to apply your mind. We apply our mind to everything. It can't be difficult to apply mind to the Quran. We're not there to say what is haram and halal and create a new fatwa, give a fatwa. No, that's not the purpose of tadabbur. Tadabbur is your mind interacting with Allah's Quran. Your emotions, your heart, the way you see life, interacting with a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is it. Not tafsir. Tafsir is something else there. You need special knowledge to tafsir the Quran. So, and if you don't finish your hatam this month of Ramadan, don't worry. If you just read Surah Baqarah and you understand, you've read it 3-4 times, you understand, you say to yourself, wow, never done this before in my life. May Allah be pleased with me because I'm following a fault that Allah has requested from me. Yes, I want to read the Khatam. I want to read the Khatam and I want to read it fast and I want to read and compete. And there's no competition in the Quran. There never was amongst the Sahaba. So I said last week, Abdullah ibn Umar took 8 years to memorize the Quran. 8 years. I want to ask you to Google the following name. Gary Wells. This man's name is Gary, Professor Emeritus Gary Wells. He's a devout Catholic. He's a great scholar, journalist. He's recognized for his writings. He wrote more than 40 books. And he was appalled at the way Donald Trump spoke about Islam. Most people spoke about Islam. And he thought to himself, this can't be Islam. This, then 2 billion people has accepted this faith, calling them terrorists. It can't be true. So what did he do? What do you think he did? At the age of 83, he was born in 1934. In the year 2017, he published a book called What the Quran Meant and Why It Matters. He wrote books on the Bible, on the Torah. He knows Latin. He knows the ancient Aramaic language of the Bible. He knows all these sciences. And what was his book that he wrote now, 2017? Maybe it'll be his last book. And there is an interview. He gives a talk on Google, on his book that he wrote, What the Quran Meant. Meaning, it's not what they say it means. It's not what Donald Trump says it means, he says. Makes it very clear. Or what other people say about Muhammad that is true. Then why did Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam marry so many wives? Was he a sexual person, pervert, as he, subhanAllah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. He just debunks all these things. SubhanAllah, I'm thinking, this man, his only motivation was to read. He read the Quran, he reflected upon the Quran, and then he wrote a book on the Quran. And when I listen to him, there are many things I disagree with him with, but there are also many things that I admire him for at his age. And what did he do? لِيَتَدَبَّرُ. That's all he did. He followed the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to lead him to Islam. If not, he's a Muslim already. Because one cannot read the Quran, no matter who you are and what you are, without being affected by the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, I am sure that the two lectures which I gave, and it's not the end of, I'm going to take these lectures on the Quran right into Ramadan, inshallah, because Ramadan is the month of the Quran. But I want to also say to you that I have highlighted what we need to do. But what is the solution? The solution is to learn Arabic. But you and I know that so many, many, many courses have been offered in Arabic. Some say, learn Arabic in 6 months. Learn Arabic in 3 months. 3,000 rand, whatever. And 99.9% of the people who do these courses don't finish it. They promise they'll be able to read the Quran, read Arabic, speak Arabic. It doesn't happen. Inshallah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spares me, I've constructed a methodology of teaching Arabic, not the grammar, because when you start with grammar, people just say, sorry, it's too difficult. to understand the words of the Quran. For example, if I say, تَعَلَّمُونَ, if you read in the Quran, تَعَلَّمُونَ, قُلْ أَفِيُعَلِّمُونَ اللَّهَ بِدِينِكُمْ. So you want to know, what does the word تُعَلِّمُونَ mean? Now I will teach, right? At the, where every other teacher stops, I will start. My experience is taught this. I've been reading Arabic and for the last 50 years of my life. I'm still reading, I'm still learning. But you cannot become a self-learner if you can't look up an Arabic word in an English, in a dictionary. If you cannot go to, if I give you a word in Arabic and you can't as a Muslim go, you, every Muslim must have his own Arabic English dictionary. The first thing you must teach a Muslim is, how do I find the meaning of the word? So I can give you any word and you can read any word. And that's the beginning. So if you open the Quran, you can look at any word. The Quran will give you one meaning in English. But if you go to the dictionary, it'll give you 10 meanings. And you'll be able to find out which meaning is appropriate to you for that word. So dictionary is one, teaching of dictionary. The other book is, it's a thick book. Books are very big, but they're very simple. This is not a book that I expect you to read. It's not a reader. But this is the book that I want to introduce you to, because this will bring you, this will put the Quran in your hands, right in your hands. It's called Mu'jam al-Mufahris li Alfaz al-Quran al-Karim. It is a dictionary of every word in the Quran in alphabetical form. So if you want to look up the word alama, you go to Ayn Lam Mim on top. It says Ayn Lam Mim. Alam tu, Ayn Lam Mim ta. You will find all the words on alama in there. All you have to know is somebody to teach you. I can do it to you in 10 minutes. So inshallah, this is what I want to do. It's not a grammar lesson. It's a lesson about becoming self-sufficient. So if I pass away and all your teachers pass away, you'll still be in contact with the Quran. You'll be able to understand it on your own. All you need is a dictionary and, inshallah, this book. Both of these are on the internet. So you don't have to buy them. So you can, after this lecture, you can go see where you can find. And the dictionary, of course, is the most famous one. It's written by a man called Hans Wehr. And this is going to be very exciting for you. And it's going to be very exciting for me because I haven't taught this course which I've developed to anybody yet. So I'm first going to do it to maybe 5 or 10 people as guinea pigs to see how it works and how effective it is, inshallah. And then I'll teach it on the internet, inshallah. So I had announced yesterday in my Jumu'ah lecture that the lecture will be at 12 o'clock. Which is a mistake I made. So this morning I started putting the lecture on at 10:15. So the lecture, inshallah, is already live. You can find it on YouTube. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give that we all learn from what Allah teaches us. We take it to heart. We take the lock off the heart. We open the door to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah will enter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you. May Allah protect all of us from the coronavirus. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire us with the Quran. So we become a real Muslim, a true Muslim, a wonderful, conscious Muslim that is confident of his akhirah and his jannah. That's what we want, isn't it? And it doesn't take a lot. This deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he had made this deen not difficult, easy, yusr. So that is how we should see it. So may Allah protect you. May Allah protect your loved ones. May Allah grant that we reach Ramadan, inshallah. May Allah grant that the coronavirus should go away quickly so we can do our Jumu'ah in the masjid and Tarawih in the masjid, inshallah. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And I just want to say, please subscribe so that if the Jumu'ah khutbah is done, you will get a message. And if the lecture starts, you'll get a message, inshallah. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.